The oversized, pentagon-shaped dining room rang with the sounds of laughter, banter, deal-making, and soft jazz. Dozens of politicians, journalists, executives, artists, and others circled the room, moving from conversation to conversation, foraging for new information, better entertainment. The denizens of Atlanta's high society mingled with aspirants and sycophants. Near the doorway, a young man stood ready to take coats and keys and handbags. Along the far wall in the corner, framed by beveled French windows, a jazz quartet played, allowing the music to spill onto the terrace and into the adjoining ballroom. A bar lined two of the five walls, flanked by brimming buffet tables on either side. Waiters darted between knots of attendees, bearing trays and taking drink orders. Raleigh stood on the edge of the crowd, listening with half an ear to the exploits of Judge Russell in his younger, more mobile days. She shifted again to find her quarry, unaware of the attention focused on her by men and women alike, envious and covetous. Raleigh wore a black, raw silk gown that skimmed rich coffee skin. The evening dress was suspended by narrow straps at her shoulders to fall to her ankles, the bodice high above her breasts, but plunging to her waist in the back. A slit in the side gave admirers a glimpse of long, slender leg as she shifted to allow a lawyer to leave their party. Her toned, muscled arms were unadorned, as was the rest of her, save the diamonds that winked at her ears. She lifted her glass toward full lips tinted with sheer color, curved into a polite, almost genuine smile. Raleigh nodded absently to the judge, acknowledging his compliment on her gown or shoes or something, her own gaze and attention fastened on the man holding court in the center of the room. Adam Grayson was tall, 6'3", she knew, and well-built, lean rather than bulky, his runner's body admirably filling the black tuxedo. His burnished bronze skin was taut, the handsome features chiseled and distinct, accented by sharp cheekbones and a firmly molded mouth. Broad shoulders tapered into strong, wide hands. As he angled toward Mrs. Lorraine Alexander Terman, their hostess, his head lifted and caught hers. Raleigh arrogantly thought she had prepared herself for this moment, yet she fought back a gasp as their eyes made contact. Amber eyes dueled with midnight black for supremacy, an engagement of complicated, primal desires and instinctive, visceral resistance. Refusing to yield to the jagged need flooding her system, Raleigh returned his gaze steadily, her chin tilting in recognition of the battle. Only he noticed her fingers tightening on the glass. With a slow, almost courtly nod, he returned his attention to his entourage. Tearing her eyes away, Raleigh tried to ignore the heat that arced through her. He didn't recognize her. The stab of regret at the knowledge mortified her. She was a woman who cultivated detachment and immunity to male charms, especially this man. If he didn't remember her, she could still salvage her mission. She could walk away right now and have a waiter deliver the message. In a few minutes, she would be on her way home, pride intact, while he dealt with the consequences. Yet she lingered in the room, listening with only half an ear to a playwright's anecdote. For too long, she had pretended the past was truly past. But one moment, one look, and the memories became frighteningly real. He could lure her with a look, weaken her with a smile. She sipped from her glass and ruthlessly ignored her attraction to him because the protocol demanded it. Desire wasn't a part of tonight's mission or the master plan for her life. She knew better than most that it could lure, then maim, its most ardent followers. 3 years ago, she'd forgotten the rules, and she'd lost everything. She'd regained her freedom and learned to live without the rest. Raleigh smothered an impotent sigh. Whether he recognized her or not, Adam hated her now and would despise her even more when this was over. No matter how her heart thudded when their eyes met, she couldn't afford to forget it.